Good morning. We are so glad you could all be with us. We're glad to see some familiar faces back. It's always good when we can all join back together. In your bulletin, I ended up taking mine out. There's a little piece of paper right here. On one side says prayer. The other side says welcome. If you're a guest or have a prayer request, if you would just fill that out, and we'll get that from you later. Also, we have a two quick announcements. They're both on the 13th of March, so mark your calendar there. We're going to have movie night again. We're going to watch Woodlawn, which is a true story. So come and out and join us for that. It'll be 6 p.m. on March 13th, which is also another big day. It's Jeremy Allamong's birthday, so you got to come celebrate that as well. But also, it's good to have family because, see, I'm going to get it this time. Daylight savings happens on March 13th. I almost missed the last one, but thankfully I ran into Connie, and Connie's like, you didn't say anything. And I'm like, uh-oh. So, but I got it written down this time. I got it. So thank goodness for family, or I would have totally missed that and wondered where everybody was on the fallback one. So daylight savings time is coming up. Mark your calendars. We thank you all for coming. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we just stand in awe of who you are. Lord, although it's cold outside and it snow on the ground, Lord, you've given us a warm place to come and to worship you, to join with like-minded people and in a place that we can lay our concerns down, that we don't have to worry about being judged, that we can just lay our hearts out and that we can pray for each other, that we can build each other up, that we can draw close to you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. Lord, as we go about this service today, Lord, let you be seen in all things, Lord, no matter who's standing up here, let you be seen. Lord, we give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Good to see all your smiling faces this morning, visitor we have this morning. We're going to open with just a closer walk.
Satisfied as long as I walk that day.
thought to start? Everybody's got to stand up now. Look alive. Our Father, Creator. Redeemer, Defender, our great and mighty Savior, there's no one higher than you. You are always with us, gracious to forgive us. By your power we've been set free. Lord, we stand amazed in your presence, astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. And there is no one higher than our God. There is no one higher.
How can it be?
Praise you for this morning, and I praise you for this chance we have to be in your house and to sing praises and ask them questions. How can it be that you would die for someone like me? And you did it while we were still your enemy. You did it when we were fighting against you. You loved us so much that you gave your only son. Chased us down in our sin, and you saved us, and you give us this grace that we just sang about. Lord, I ask that you bless this morning, as you already have, and bless this service, and bless the message that Jeremy's going to bring us, that we can fix it in our heart, Lord, and learn from it, that we can become more like Christ, that we can be holy because you are holy, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this church. We praise you for everybody that's here this morning. And we ask that you watch over and keep all those people who cannot be here this morning. We miss them so much. Lord God, again, bless our service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning again. I have the comments this week. Early in the week, Jan, she texted me and reminded me that I had the communion comments, and I'm glad that she did, because I wouldn't have known it if she didn't. I wish the next time, though, she'd send the comments with the text. Okay, I was warned at the beginning of this week that I had comments. So, knowing this, did I meditate on them and open my heart for the Lord to speak to me? No, I wrote Tuesday off. Wednesday, I traveled all day for parts, so I was all, me and my wife were in the truck together, but I had all kinds of time to reflect and didn't again. Thursday, I thought, well, I'm pretty busy, and it's only Thursday. Friday came, and I was at a meeting all morning, then I went to the chiropractor, and I think it was a good thing, because the pain in the left side of my neck that's been there for 3 years, I got some relief, but then a little further down, it started hammering me to the point I went home, went to bed. Well, I got up Saturday morning and thought, well, I better go to work and try to make up for what I didn't do on Friday. And then Saturday, I went to bed with no comments. And, you know, early in the week, I found time to go out to dinner twice, but I didn't find any time to meditate and come up with comments. So now it's Sunday morning, and my neck hurts. My body don't feel good, but I don't have no choice now. I felt pretty good at the beginning of the week. So I opened my Bible this morning, and I thought this was pretty funny. This is what I read to get started here. It was Job 14th chapter. It says, "Man born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away. Like a fleeting shadow, he does not endure. Do you fix your eye on such a one? Will you bring him before you for judgment? Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone till he hath put in his time like a hired man." I thought, I'm going to quit there. I thought, you know, that's not very comforting. But it's not. It's the truth. We are called. Communion is about remembering what Jesus done on the cross. It's about not forgetting what Jesus has done. And his broken body, his spilt blood. And he knew how we like to put things off, and he knew how forgetful we were. So he came up with this so we could remember what he did. And what he did is it allowed us to come to him with our sins, with our offenses, and he could cover them with his blood, and we could draw near to him. And to me, you know, I really blew it. But that's a neat thing. It's communion time. And I say, God, I messed up. I should have been putting you first at the beginning of the week and still sticking you last at the end of the week. Although they say today is the beginning of the week, so. Yeah, see, that's how we are. We like to try to cover our offenses ourselves. But the neat thing is communion time is something that we need to remember. Because Jesus came because we're like a fleeting breath and our lives are gone. We don't have much time. And, you know, I was lucky I had this week. Maybe some of us don't have tomorrow. Now is the time to get right with Jesus. We should not put off what we should be doing today. And the neat thing is, this morning I'm going to ask God to forgive me for my lack of doing what I was supposed to do. But The great thing is we can remember what Jesus did on that cross. He died to get rid of this curse that Job talks about. We don't have to live in this curse of sin no longer. We are redeemed, and life's full of pain, life's full of sorrow, but salvation, even on this earth, is so much greater than our pain. Just think, when the day finally comes when we see Jesus, how great that joy will be. And my favorite verse in Romans 8:18, as soon as we see Jesus' face, all the trials of this earth will no longer remember him. And that's the day I'm waiting for. And I pray that next time Jan sends me the comments. God bless. I'm going to say a prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this time of communion that you have told us how to follow, and that we take this time to remember your death on that cross and your broken body and spilt blood, that we may be redeemed, that you can save us from the curse of death and hell, and we can live forever with you. We can be sons of the Most High God, adopted sons. It's a wonderful thing, Lord, and we ask that we all take our hearts to you this morning and let you take care of our sins and our woes, Lord, and pick us up and bless us. We love you and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We come to prayer time. I have a praise from Luann, or for her mother, Shirley Crawford. She came home from the nursing home Friday. It was a good day. Hope she continues to do better. But I do, the last couple weeks I haven't had very many, but today we have prayer requests. Kelly Walgeman for her sister Amy Greenemeyer. She lives in Chicago alone and is having trouble with her vision. She can't see without her contacts, but she has been told not to wear her contacts until her eyes heal. So, and from Janice Cram for Joelle. Continue to pray for Joelle. He's supposed to have a heart cath test. From Greg and Cheryl Vogel, for Gene Humberger, had a friend and used to be, he used to come to church here, and he passed away on Friday, I believe. Calling was on 4 to 7 Monday, and funeral service to Tuesday. 11 a.m. at Thompson Funeral Home in Montpelier. And this is really small writing, so I have to look over the top. Brenda Lyons for Carol Buck, tested positive for COVID. and influenza. And she has rheumatoid arthritis. So that poor lady has it from all sides. And I have one I didn't write down. If anybody heard, there was a life flight that stopped at my nephew's yesterday. There was kids was over, and they were pulling sled with a four-wheeler, and some girl got hurt and had a concussion, so they had to life flight her. So I don't know anything other than that, but I'm sure prayers would be gladly accepted. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we have those here that are suffering from illnesses and have hurts. Lord, we ask that you would heal them. Lord, we ask that you would be with the family of Gene Humbarger in his passing. Lord, he touched many lives through the years, and we ask that the family is comforted. Lord, we ask that we ask a praise, especially for Shirley Crawford, Luann's mother. Lord, it's glad that she is finally home now. Lord, continue that her health can continue to get better. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Sorry, Mylan, I write so small. I probably could write a little bit bigger. We were, I think yesterday, the kids have decided to create their own newspaper. So they were writing, and Polly was like, "How do you write so small?" And so we were trying to figure out how to write small. So sorry about that. I need to teach her how to write bigger. We're going to continue our walk through 1 Kings. If you remember last week, we took a veer off of that for a Sunday, for Heart Sunday, but we're going to come back to 1 Kings. And as we're walking through this book, we're looking at the characteristics of Christ, because through all the Old Testament, one of the biggest things that we like to do is we like to find the big characters like David, Abraham, Moses, and we see them and we're like, our life matches that. But in all truth, in all reality, if we look at the Old Testament, if we look at these characters, those characters reflect Jesus. So we want to look at Jesus. We want to see Jesus through the Old Testament. The sacrifices, the kings, the judges, all of those things point to the ultimate king, the ultimate judge, the true sacrifice. So we're going to continue walking through that, and we're going to be in 4 and 5, mainly in 5 today. But as we've walked through this book so far, we've asked ourselves a series of questions. In chapter 1, we asked ourselves, if we would choose a king, how would we do it? In chapter 2, we asked the question, if we could enact justice, how would we do it? And then in chapter 3, we looked at, if God came to you and said and gave this statement, "Ask, what shall I give you?" How would we respond? And as we looked at each of those questions, we saw how Jesus, Solomon's coming into power, was the triumphal entry, riding on a donkey. We saw how Solomon's justice reflects God's justice, looking for mercy, giving grace. And then we saw how Solomon's response to God's question, it wasn't a give me question. It was like, what do you have for me? Because you are gracious, you are great, and I am but a child. And it's only through you and by you that I can even rule these people. So we've walked through each of those, and we're going to continue that walk today. This morning, this illustration from William Arthur Ward put it best. He says, "Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will not forget you." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to sit at your feet, to open up your word. We thank you that you gave us your word that we could walk through it. We thank you that you gave us your spirit that he could reveal your truth. And that he could remind us of the truth of who you are, of your character. Lord, as we walk through these two chapters this morning, Lord, let us see you. Let us hear you. Let you be glorified in all things. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 4 is, we're not going to look at it too big, but chapter 4 is a fulfillment of what God had promised. Looking at verses 29, we're going to start there. Chapter 4, 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind, like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite and Haman the Kalak or Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish, and people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon and from all the kings of the earth who had heard his wisdom. You see, chapter 4 is that fulfillment. If you remember in chapter 3, when God came and said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Solomon responded, "I am but a child. I need you and you alone to rule these people, to bring these people to your glory." And what does God reply in chapter 3, verse 11? God says, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I'll give you all of these other things." In chapter 4, 22 and 23, we read that the provisions for one day, just think about that. Think about your provisions for one day, what you had for breakfast, what you're going to have for lunch, what you're going to have for dinner, maybe some snacks in there. Provisions for one day Solomon had was 30 cores, which is about 6 bushels or 220 liters of fine flour and 60 cores of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep besides deer, gazelle, roebuck, and fattened fowls. You talk about a meal. I remember when growing up, I would go to Shenandoah, which is kind of like here in Virginia, and I would go visit my grandparents. Well, at home, even our home today, lunch is a sandwich and maybe some chips. Kids love the chips and some carrots maybe. When you went to my grandmother's house for lunch, you had a 4-course meal. That's the way they did things back there. This is what Solomon is providing with. Verse 24, it says, he had dominion over all the regions west of the Euphrates, from Tipush to Gaza, over all the kings west of Euphrates, and he had peace on all sides around him. Look at the food, the abundance he has. He has peace with kings. Verse 25 says, Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan even to Beersheba, every man under his vine and under his fig all days of Solomon. Judah and Israel were at peace. Verse 26, Solomon also had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And then finally, in verse 32, he also spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. Look at all of what God blessed Solomon with. Simply because Solomon said, "I can't do this without you. You and you alone are how I'm going to rule the kingdom. It's only in you, through you, by you, that I can do any of this." And God blessed him with all of those things. So we come to chapter 5 and we ask the question, what would we do with all that wealth and power? How do we interact with other people? Because look at just, this is a very small glimpse at what Solomon had. What would we do with that? You see, if we look today, there's a lot of famous people, a lot of wealthy people that look down on those that are not like them. They tolerate others for the sake of publicity or for charity. You see, I don't know if you remember him long ago. He's changed since then. But the wrestler Sting, really tall guy. And yes, most people are taller than me because I'm short. But really tall guy. And this was the days before he had the white makeup and all of that. This was simply just like a little face paint. Giant B-box looking haircut. They had come to the Roanoke Civic Center. I was probably Sarah Bell's age, so shorter now. And they had come. And also during that time, there was a Christian convention. So a bunch of teenagers were there. A bunch of kids were there. Well, the big giant wrestlers, kids, what are you going to do? You're going to want to flock to those wrestlers. You want their autographs. They were there to perform. They were there to do a job. They tolerated us. Well, as they are walking out, all of a sudden this really tall guy in cowboy boots and this B-box looking haircut almost steps on me. I'm not a wrestling fan. I had no idea who it was, but it was Sting. I almost got stepped on by Sting. There's a kid in my way. I'm coming through. He was tolerating us, and he almost squished me. You all know that I like comic books. Jonathan and I were talking. Comic-Con is coming up. Do you realize, you know who Mark Hamill is? Luke Skywalker, or the Joker on some of the Batman cartoons. You can shake his hand for free. But if you want an autograph that simply says Mark Hamill, it'll cost you around $200. Famous people, rich, wealthy people like Solomon tolerate those that aren't like them. But how different are we, really? You see, we may not have the wealth. We may not have the fame and the fortune. But is it not true that we tend to tolerate those that aren't like us? Not accept, tolerate. You see, there's a song King and Country put out, God Forgive Us. And we listen to songs at night, and this is one of the kids' favorite. And the verse that comes to mind, the verse that really hits home says, forgive us. Yes, we have ignored you. Speaking of God, we're so busy doing your work. We're busy doing your work that we forgot that this was for you. We got so busy doing your work that we forgot what we're doing is for you. We have our arms open wide. We stand with arms open wide to a homeless Savior. But our arms are crossed for our homeless neighbor. On bended knee, unite us all, set us free. God, forgive us. We tolerate those that aren't like us. You see, Solomon had this right. There was no one in history before or after like Solomon. No one was as wise as Solomon. No one had the money that Solomon had. You see, Solomon's wealth, his famousness, has gone throughout history. There are books written about Solomon. There's fiction written about Solomon. There's one of my favorite characters is an African adventurer, Alan Quatermain, and one of the books that he's in is called King Solomon's Mine. They're looking for the wealth of King Solomon. He could do what he wanted to do. He could say what he wanted to say. So we come to chapter 5 here, and let us look at chapter 5, 1 through 6. Now, Hermon, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon when he had heard that they anointed him king in place of his father. For Hiram was always loved David. And Solomon sent word to Hiram, you know that David, my father, could not build a house for the name of Yahweh, his God, because of the warfare with his enemy, which his enemies surrounded him, until Yahweh put them under the soles of his feet. But now Yahweh, my God, has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune. And so I intend to build a house for the name of Yahweh, my God. As Yahweh said to David, my father, your son, whom I set on your throne in your place, shall build the house for my name. Now therefore command the cedars of Lebanon be cut for me, and your servants will join your servants. My servants will join your servants, and I will pay you for your servants such wages as you set. For you know that there is none among us who knows how to cut timber like Sidon's. You see, here's the situation Solomon is coming to. He wants to build the promised house of Yahweh, the chosen house of God. God had told David back in 2 Samuel David, you can't build this house for me, but your son Solomon, and he says his name before Solomon is even king, your son Solomon will build the house for me. Solomon requotes this in verse 5. Your God said, your son, whom I set on your throne, in your place shall build the house for my name. So there's the situation. He wants to build this house. God said, Solomon, you're going to build this house. But here's the problem. There's none in Israel who really know how to cut lumber. Yes, we can cut lumber. We can build a house. We can build a barn. But we can't build a palace. So what do we do? Well, here's Solomon's first response. Solomon comes along. I have this great power. I have this great wealth. I have this great wisdom. There's no one like me. And here's the other thing, King Hermon. God's authority. God told me I was going to do this. So here, King Hermon, since I have this wealth, I have this power, I have God's authority with me, you're going to get me my lumber that I need. Let's get busy. That's how he could have responded. He had the right to respond that way. But how does Solomon actually respond? You see, Solomon defines his desire. Here's what God has said. Here is what God has done. And this is what I want to do in God's honor. But here's the problem, O great king. You have these great and you have these beautiful trees. They're the cedars of Lebanon. And they would be so beautiful to build this house for my great God who has done these things for David, who has done these things for me. What beauty of your great trees to decorate, to build this house. But I have one problem. You see, your people, the Sidonians, they are great tree cutters. We can't compare to you. You're great in doing this. The things that you create are so magnificent. We can put a bunch of sticks together and call it a house compared to you. So here's what I would like for you to do. I would like for you to command your people to do this project for me. Not only do I want you to do this for me, but I will send workers to you for you to command, teach them how to do this. And not only that, not only will I send my people to work with your people and you tell them what to do, you command them, you make them work, but you tell me how much you want it for this project and I'll give it to you. You name the price and it's yours. Do you see the two differences? You see, how does King Hermon respond to this? He rejoices. Not only does he rejoice, but he gives his price. And he begins the project. See, verse 12 says, there was peace between Hermon and Solomon, and the two made a treaty. Hermon liked what Solomon had to say. You see, Solomon comes in humility. He doesn't come with his greatness forward. He comes lifting Hermon up. You're great tree builders. You have beautiful trees. I need your help. Will you help me? He glorifies the strength of Hermon and his people. He offers to put his hand in the work and honors by allowing them to give the price. And he pays it. You see, in this chapter here, when Solomon comes to Hermon and he asks this question, Solomon demonstrates the character of Christ. Because let's look at it a minute. Look at us. We talked about this on Wednesday as we were walking through the Gospel of John, and I would encourage you to come join us in that. God knew what we would do. God knew who we would become. God could come and he could have demanded, this is what you're going to do. He still can come and demand us, this is what you're going to do. He could make us do his will. Is he not God? He could make us. But what did he do instead? When we were talking in John, what did he do instead? He looked at this way before in the beginning happened. Before those words were ever spoken. He looked at it and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to create this creature. We're going to make them in our image. We're going to give them all of this that we're going to make, all of this creation. It's going to be theirs. We're going to let them rule over it. And here's what they're going to do. They're going to smack our hand. They're going to shake their fist. They're going to demand their way. And they're going to show that they're king of the mountain. And they're going to disgrace me in all ways. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to create this creature. We're going to create this creature who's going to shake their fists at us. But then after we create them and they do these things, we're going to provide a way back. You see, if you look in Genesis, what is the first thing that happens after Adam and Eve sin? You see, at that moment, God could have said, done. It's over. I'm going to make something that's going to obey me. You see these snakes and these spiders and these giraffes and the trees and the clouds, they all do what I want to do. I'm going to create something in my image that's going to do what I want it to do. God could have done that. But what did he do? He killed an innocent lamb. And he provided clothing for Adam and Eve. And not only did he provide clothing for Adam and Eve, and you look at that curse and you're like, that's just scary. God provided for Adam and Eve after he kicked them out of the garden. I'm still providing for you. It's going to get hard. It's not going to be as easy where you can simply just walk and pluck and eat. You've got to now grow it. It's going to get a little harder. You've got to put some skin in it now. But he still provided. And then it comes to Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, gives us these words, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Jesus, who, though was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You see, God could choose to wipe us out. God could choose to demand his way. God could make us do his way. But instead, he decided to save us through Jesus' blood. He decided to become the sacrifice to get us back to him. He decided to redeem us and then adopt us and making us his ambassadors. Just like Solomon, Solomon shows that grace and that mercy. I have the power to do it all, and you're going to do it. Think about that, little King Hermon and his little army versus, what did we say, like 12,000 chariots? That's pretty big. King Hermon didn't stand a chance, but Solomon chose instead to lift others up. He chose to humble himself. Christ came and humbled himself to the point of death. Death on a cross to lift us up, to bring us back to him. So when we look at this chapter, when we look at King Solomon, we see Jesus, a mighty king who loves his God, who will serve his God with all that he is, and he brings others with him. Because what did King Solomon do in this statement here? See, we look at history, we look at the plans, and we say the temple of King Solomon. But if you went and you talked to King Solomon about his beautiful temple that he built, he would say, yes, we did this, but let me come and show you. This mighty structure here, right here, this came from King Hermon. His people did this. You see that big, beautiful arch? His people did this. No. It's not my work. I only had a small hand in it. There were others that had hands in this as well. God lifts us up that we may bring glory to him. So see Jesus in this chapter and ask yourself, what do you do with what's given to you? You see, you now have been given grace. You've been given redemption. You have the power now. Do we continue to tolerate or do we lift others up? Humbling ourselves. Bringing others to the glory, saying it's not by me. It's by Jesus. And Jesus alone. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for King Solomon. Thank you that he points to you in the way that he treats this king. Thank you that we can look to him and that we can see how great you are. You are the true king, and we stand no chance against you. We shake our fists and we act so foolish. And you have every right, you have every power to show who the real boss is. Yet you chose humility. You chose to be stripped, to be beaten, to hang on a cross, to die a curse, sinner's death, that we could be free. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. There's no words to say. There's nothing that can be done to repay that. Lord, help us to see that. Help us to take that message and not walk forgetting that it is for you that we work. Let us bring you glory in all things. Let us say the life that we live is not our own, but yours. The joy that we have is yours, and it's because of you. Let us honor the true King. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.
He didn't step on anybody's toes with that tolerate thing, did he? Got mine smashed. It is, how much better is humility than tolerate? I guess you got to think about what Jesus did, how much Jesus tolerated us in our sin. And we should be like Jesus and tolerate, not tolerate, but accept them. And love them no matter what their sin is. Like we studied this morning in class, we like to look at people as the enemy, people that who aren't redeemed yet, and we make them the enemy when they're not our enemy. They're supposed to be our friends, and we're supposed to love them. The enemy is the devil. Satan is our enemy. Pretty easy for us to not put Satan where he belongs and accuse people that we shouldn't be accusing, because we were once sinners and we still are sinners. The only difference is we're redeemed, but we should want that for everybody else, that they may too be redeemed and to share the love of Christ that we have. What a great love we have in Christ. You need to know about Jesus, to learn about Jesus this morning. You need to give him your sins and your hardships and your troubles and to receive that salvation that he offers. It's free. It's better than winning the lottery, and it's free. It's amazing how much Jesus loves us, and we don't deserve a bit of it. Let's stand, and we're going to sing a long song this morning, because it's recorded, all of it. A long invitation, so there's no excuse for not coming up here if you need to.
Lose all the guilty stains. Lose all.
Again, we praise you and we thank you for this day. What a wonderful day to be in your house. You've surely blessed us this morning. You've blessed us this past week, and we know there's more blessings coming this next week. We thank you for all our loved ones, our church family, our friends, our families, our kids, our grandkids, the blessings beyond measure that you give us, Lord. And we ask that we can go out and be a good example, Lord, that we can go out and be like you, and bring others to know your saving grace. Lord, we ask that you too be with us this coming week and in our travels, and keep us safe from harm. Look over us all, and please, Lord, bring those back to your house to worship with us again and put an end to this pandemic. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and it's in your name we pray these things. God bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's blessed shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory.
I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Thanks for coming, everybody. God bless.